The views and opinions of this program are those of its host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of 90.1 FM, KKFI, Midcoast Radio Project, or its staff and volunteers.
Okay, welcome to Radioactive Magazine. We will be speaking with Ann Sulentrop, Kristen Shear, and Kimmy Igla of Peaceworks Kansas City about their recent trip to Washington, D.C. to lobby members of the U.S. House and Senate representing Kansas City metro area regarding nuclear weapons policies and management of associated environmental contaminants. Ann is the second vice chair of the board of Peaceworks. Kristen and Kimmy are members of their board and co-chairs of their communications committee. These activities were part of an annual DC Days event organized by the Alliance for Nuclear Accountability, which is a network of local, regional, and national organizations working collaboratively on issues of nuclear weapons production and waste cleanup, according to the Wikipedia article on the Alliance for Nuclear Accountability. These three women flew with two others to Washington, D.C. on April 22nd. The next day, they were trained in this year's Alliance for Nuclear Accountability lobbying efforts. They then spent the next 3 days visiting the office of politicians representing parts of the KC metro area and spent another 2 days debriefing and planning to do it all again next year. Full disclosure, I'm the Secretary of Peaceworks Kansas City. First, Ann, Kristen, Kimmy, please correct any errors in what I just said and add anything else you'd like.
I would just say that ANA is unique in that it is made up of people from the grassroots who actually live in the shadow of nuclear weapons production and also suffer the effects of the contamination that this system produces and the health effects, such as children dying of leukemia and cancers. This is going on all across the United States because plutonium is the most poisonous, serious contaminant that does not exist in nature. It is made in nuclear energy plants, and it will last for thousands of generations. The half-life of plutonium is 24,000 years.
Right, so you're talking about nuclear contamination issues from sea to shining sea, quite literally, Georgia to Washington State. You're a member of the Alliance for Nuclear Accountability. Is a group called WAN in Georgia. Is that right? Am I right about that, Ann?
Yeah, that's Women's Action for New Directions. And then actually, it's in the Pacific Ocean also because we bombed for about, I think about 10, 12 years, we bombed the Marshall Islands.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah, right.
Test bombed.
Test bombed.
But I'm still a bomb.
Test nuclear weapons, exactly right. And the natives of those islands can't go back there again.
That's right. And also about 1,000 bombs, I think it was, were exploded in Nevada, and the fallout went all over the United States, so we're all downwinders.
Yeah. Indeed, yes.
The impacts of those tests from decades ago are still those impacts are still being felt today, so it's really important for us to be able to go to D.C. and make the needs of the people known to the people who are supposed to represent us.
There are people contaminated in St. Louis, right, from St. Louis, operations in St. Louis. They've got a nuclear waste disposal site and an underground fire that's slowly burning its way towards that site just within the past week. Ooh. I heard something to say that they found that the contamination is spread further than they thought. Okay.
Yes.
So,
and it was so strange because right when we visited Senator Josh Hawley's office, he was introducing legislation on the Senate floor. If Kristen wants to talk about that,
mm-hmm. Go ahead.
It was fascinating. He was introducing a legislation that he was calling Justice for Jana. It was a school district, an elementary school that was contaminated with radioactive waste. And he was introducing legislation that day. His staff was so receptive. They said it just so happened to be our issue on the day that we were there to visit, and we could go sit in the Senate gallery and watch the event if we wanted to.
Yeah, he had his interns escort us over there, and we were taken in the back way as VIPs, and we were one of the few people in that Senate chamber, so we saw the vote, we saw many famous senators, and then we actually had a picture taken with Josh Hawley, and as we approached him, we congratulated him on his efforts with Janet Elementary, and then we also told him we have the same and similar problems here in Kansas City, and his eyes got really big.
It was like he wanted to talk more about it right then. He said he asked if we had talked to his staff. We assured him that we had. He was so receptive. His staff was so receptive. That was one of my biggest surprises of the event.
That's wonderful.
It should be stated also that Cori Bush was a co-sponsor on the Justice for Janet bill as well. Mm-hmm. So it was sort of Josh Hawley's attempt at some bipartisan work towards
Cori
nuclear
Bush
accountability.
In the House, representing basically St. Louis in the U.S. House.
Yes.
Right. So the photograph of you with Senator Hawley is available on PeaceWorksKC.org, right?
And I've
seen it. If you go to KKFI.org, you go to News and Public Affairs, Radioactive Magazine, you'll find the description of this episode of Radioactive Magazine, and in there will be a link to a story that Ann Sulentrop wrote, I think, and was posted there with that photograph. So it's there. I've seen it.
And it's interesting because, you know, Josh Hawley isn't someone who necessarily aligns with our values. However, it is just important to have politicians actually caring about the needs of the people when it comes to nuclear accountability. So if we do, encourage even people such as Josh Hawley, who I never would agree with on anything, if we encourage him to continue to advocate for nuclear accountability, other politicians will follow suit as well.
Politics makes strange bedfellows.
So what else?
Well, one of the most moving things for me was a movie that we watched at the NRDC office's National Resources Defense Council. And it was called In the Dark of the Valley. Mm-hmm. And it is also available on Peacock, by the way. And it showed the massive contamination at the Susanna Field Office in California. It's about, about a half hour away from Los Angeles. And they have had numerous children die from cancers and leukemia. And actually, one of the main women, a mother of a 13-year-old who is a two-time cancer survivor, was there, Melissa Bumstead. She was at the screening. She and her daughter.
They were at the screening, but they were not part of the...
Were part of DC Days.
They lobbied with us. Mm-hmm. And in the documentary, it also details mm-hmm. them lobbying back in 2017. So this is an ongoing fight.
And she has been one of the major leaders there in that community. And they still haven't cleaned up that site.
Mm-hmm. Well, it only costs money.
Boeing has plenty of.
they spend over $800 billion every year on making new nuclear weapons mm-hmm. and only about $2 billion on cleanup. And actually, cleanup isn't even an accurate word because you cannot really clean up nuclear waste. You can contain it from the biosphere, but wherever it is put, it's going to contaminate that container also. So it's a horrible problem that started in the 40s and will continue. We're stuck with it now. We're in the nuclear age.
So who else, what other legislators did you visit besides Hawley?
We met with the staff for Charisse Davids, Emmanuel Cleaver, Jerry Moran, all folks who have direct impacts with the Kansas and Missouri community.
Roger Marshall, Senator Roger Marshall's staff. Mm-hmm. We actually took a picture with Charisse Davids, and we shared with her that we have concerns about the plant here in Kansas City. And apparently she said she had never heard of the plant. And there's about 3,000-ish people that live in Kansas that work at the plant, mm-hmm. and which the new plant is the National Security Campus, and it's located at 150 Highway and Botts Road, which is about a mile west of 71 Highway. And I might mention that we will be having our annual Memorial Day protest there May 29th at 11 a.m. We will have a march in front of the buildings on the sidewalk there. It's public, you know, access. And then at noon, we'll have the rally, and we'll have our die-in, which is pointing to the people who have died early deaths from working at the plant, and people who have been made sick from working there. And the original plant was Bannister Federal Complex on Bannister Road near Troost. So that was 1949 to 2014. So there have been thousands of claims, and millions of dollars paid out.
And some of the people who died premature deaths did not even work in the nuclear industry. They worked for like the IRS or Internal Revenue mm-hmm. Service or other governmental agencies that had offices on that cafeteria, had offices on that site, right? Mm.
Yes, because it was one building built during World War II to make jet engines. So it had an HVAC system in common throughout the building. So the toxins went everywhere, and there were 2,400 or so toxins.
Yeah, different chemicals that they've identified, mm-hmm. toxic chemicals that they've identified.
And some radioactive substances were in there, too.
Yep.
And actually, it's so ironic that we got supposedly one of the employees, Maurice Copeland, told me that Mallinckrodt in St. Louis was where they got the chemicals. That's where they ordered them from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I will say that I am a strong supporter of the Alliance for Nuclear Accountability, and it truly was a great honor to be able to participate in the event. I encourage everyone to look up the Alliance for Nuclear Accountability, considering that for my entire lifetime as a working class millennial, my entire lifetime has been living in a state of nuclear irresponsibility, mm-hmm. and we're living with the impacts of that now.
The plant employs almost 7,000 people, but you never hear about it in the media. Very rarely. And the budget for 2024 is $1.2 billion. That's our tax dollars at work, mm-hmm. for something that we're never going to use.
We hope.
Well, yeah.
Scenario.
If mm-hmm. we do use it, none of us will likely survive.
That's right.
Right.
So that's why it's really important for young people to step in and join this fight now to advocate for a livable future.
Indeed. Mm-hmm. Indeed. And there's more on that, as I said, in the description of this episode of Radioactive Magazine. There's a Wikipedia article on the Alliance for Nuclear Accountability and on the Kansas City Plan or Kansas City National Security Campus. And PeaceWorksKC.org has more information about the Memorial Day protest, I believe, right?
Yes. And also, I just want to put in a word for a couple of the people that weren't able to be here. Rose Roos went with us to DC Days, and she was in the military, in the Army and the Air Force, and then she worked for the Department of Agriculture. And she wanted me to say that she found DC Days to be very informative, and she really, really hopes that we got the message to the right local politicians who can take some action about our nuclear concerns. And she actually said she'll be coming back next year again. Mm-hmm. And the other person is Luisa Olarte, and she is a recent immigrant from Colombia, South America. So she will be writing up her impressions of DC Days in Spanish and English for a website.
Mm-hmm. So you talked about Josh Hawley's reaction, what he's, how receptive he was. Tell us about you at least got a picture taken with Charisse Davids. And so, you want to talk more about the conversation with her and her staff?
She was nice. She just sounded like, just seemed like she was hearing some of this for the first time. And she said after our very short visit, she said she'd learned a lot from us, and she had a lot more to learn on the issue going forward. So it was good, you know, to be there, to be, you know, sharing this stuff with people, our lawmakers, who might not even be aware of some of this.
Right.
One aide, I can't remember which one, he said, "Are we still making nuclear weapons?" And I'm like, "Oh my God." And I said, "Yes, they're remaking every single nuclear weapon in the arsenal, all brand new. It's called the Life Extension Programs, and that is what the Kansas City plant is heavily involved in." Mm-hmm. So you might say business is booming out there. They're even buying land next to the existing new plant to build on extra warehouses.
We are talking with Ann Sulentrop, Kristen Shear, and Kimmy Igla of Peaceworks Kansas City about their recent trip to Washington, D.C. to lobby members of the U.S. House and Senate representing the Kansas City metro area on nuclear weapons policy and management of associated environmental contaminants. So talk to us more about what did you get from Moran's office, for example?
He was a polite Arkansas boy. He didn't really have anything to add to what we were saying, but he said he would share our message, and that's really all that he can do.
He was right, polite.
Unlike some Senator, others. Yeah. Senator Marshall's office?
I did not visit with him, but
Senator Marshall.
He was a surprising bit of information that I got from him was that Honeywell had just recently been talking to them about SMRs, which are small modular reactors, which are a new sort of scheme that the nuclear energy community has put together to try to sell nuclear reactors.
Yep.
But the thing is, he said that it would not create any more radioactivity, and that is not true. It produces way more radioactivity, and it also spoils much more water. It uses lots more water, and it's as any other nuclear energy reactor, it's going to only be able to economically float with taxpayer bailouts.
Exactly. Yeah, right. Especially the insurance policy. They can't afford the insurance because there's a phenomenon called normal accidents or system accidents that basically, so I'm a reliability engineer among other things. The reliability calculations are basically bogus. Okay, because they've got all these redundant systems, but the managers know that they can operate the plant without maintaining the redundant systems. So, you know, when you need the redundant systems, they aren't there like in Fukushima.
But I would say that this is the most successful year for Kansas City participating in DC Days. I've been going there 15 years, and usually I can get maybe one or two other people to come with me. I had four women with me this year. We rocked. And they were all new, but they caught on really quick. And from the very first meeting, they were like experts in lobbying. They participated with no, you know, faltering or anything.
And if I would encourage anyone to look into this opportunity, because I never thought that I would have the opportunity to lobby in Washington, D.C. for something that I care about. Like, environmental justice is like a worthy issue. If you want to learn how to lobby for the environmental justice cause, then Alliance for Nuclear Accountability can teach you.
And Peaceworks Kansas City is an affiliate of the Alliance for Nuclear Accountability.
Exactly.
Yes.
Right. So what are your plans for the coming year in this regard?
Well, one of the things that's coming right up is July 21st, there is going to be a film released called Oppenheimer, and it is a story of, as Hollywood often does, of a great man and, you know, his rise and fall. And it's based on the book Prometheus something. I forget the exact title. But anyway, I'm just concerned that it really won't bring in any of these issues that we've brought up about the contaminants and the cancers, and really what the threat that nuclear weapons pose, because as some of you may know, we are 90 seconds to midnight. We are at the cusp of having a nuclear war because of the war in Ukraine, just like during 1962 when we almost went to nuclear war with the Cuban missile crisis. So we are playing with fire, and this is very, very dangerous.
Indeed, Putin has pretty much explicitly threatened the use of nuclear weapons over Ukraine issue. And there was allegedly a drone strike on Putin's home in Moscow. The word I'm saying suggests that that was a false flag operation staged by Putin himself, roughly like Hitler's dressing up military German prisoners, taking them out of the German penitentiaries and dressing them in Polish uniforms and shooting them and using that to justify invading Poland because Poland attacked Germany, he said. Comments?
I will say that what I'm working on for this year is outreach in Kansas City specifically to raise awareness for these nuclear issues like Anne was describing. This truly has been going on for decades, but no one has really been made aware. I was only really made aware of a lot of this information in D.C., and now I have the fire lit inside me. So now I am wanting to galvanize this movement for Kansas City. And specifically, I'm sharing information on our Instagram, Peaceworks KC on Instagram. We also have a TikTok, Peaceworks KC. And I want to be sharing more information to raise awareness for what's going on around the globe nuclear-wise and also in our city.
And you recently organized a Poets for Peace event. You want to talk about that, Kimmy?
Sure. In collaboration with Poetic Underground KC, Peaceworks KC hosted a benefit show to raise awareness for our organization and for our Memorial Day event, May 29th. We will be having a civil disobedience that day, and really the Poets for Peace event was to share that event with folks and also for people to come together to share poetry from their personal lives, and to support and witness each other in that is a way to fuel a rights movement. Like, civil rights has been fueled by creative power, and I believe that environmental justice is also fueled by engaging with each other creatively and supporting each other in that way.
Yeah, that's great. So people claim that if you want peace, you must prepare for war. Do you have any comments on that?
I think that if we're preparing for war, the only thing that you can guarantee is that we will have war. The only way to have peace is to start preparing for peace. That's what I'd like to see us doing.
And we can do that by collaborating with other organizations, joining in with other community organizers. Like, for instance, at our Poets for Peace event, we had Sunrise Movement with a table. We had Janae Manley for City Council had a table. Vote Janae, by the way. And also People Spark KC had a table. All of these organizations are in collaboration for building peace in our community. So coming together with each other is a way to prepare for peace.
That's great.
And of course, we will be having our annual art fair the third weekend in September, and it is for local artists and emerging new artists, and the original cost for it is just $35. There's
For presenters.
For the people that sell
for
art there. Yes.
Sell art, right. And this is a low-cost sort of alternative that's concurrent with the Plaza Art Fair.
Mm-hmm.
Peaceworks Kansas City Local Art Fair. Right.
We'll also be having the Hiroshima Nagasaki Remembrance, which we're planning to have out at the plant also.
Yeah. So, getting back to if you want peace, preparing for war, my understanding is that our we've got a nuclear renovation program, so-called, that is in fact is creating a security dilemma and driving China and Russia to engage in similar nuclear buildups. Mm-hmm. Comments?
Yeah, I mean, when we then are perceived as a threat when we are building up our arsenals, other players on the world stage see what we're doing, and then they're inspired to build up their arsenals as well to protect themselves from us.
Mm. And whereas instead, all of these government powers, the powers of the world, could be collaborating on climate justice action for saving the planet, not destroying the planet.
Exactly, right.
Exactly.
Right.
And there is legislation that Eleanor Holmes Norton from D.C. has introduced for the past 20 years, and that is legislation that promotes taking these nuclear weapons production sites, which Kansas City is one of the 8 major sites involved in this, and turning them into something that is productive and, something that we really need, like things that would help save the planet. And so this has been introduced again. She's had, I think, about 5 co-sponsors this year. Also, there's the TPNW, the Nuclear Ban Treaty, and that is a
treaty on the prohibition of nuclear weapons.
And that is a worldwide effort to ban nuclear weapons, period. Have nothing, no stockpiles, nothing. And also it's the first time that it offers a way for compensation to be given and care to be given to communities that have suffered from nuclear bombings, nuclear testing.
One of the things I thought was really interesting that I got in D.C. was an opportunity to visit with some of the leaders in the anti-nuclear weapons. The conversation that I witnessed was them talking about, well, what are we going to do with the waste? What are we going to do? We've got it. What are we going to do it? I mean, my answer is, stop making it. Well, that's only part of the answer, and a very important part of the answer.
So far, that's a problem that has not been solved.
Right? And so they just wanted to start kicking it around because it's such a big issue. What do we do? And there, of course, there are no good answers. So they didn't, even these really brilliant minds that have been working on it, they don't know what to do. But it was eye-opening to hear the conversation.
Okay, we're basically out of time. Any final words for our audience?
I would be honored if everyone listening would follow our Instagram at PeaceWorksKC. And if you want to reach out to me with any questions about all of this really convoluted, confusing nuclear information, I would be happy to start a conversation with you.
And you can reach Ann Sullentrop about coming to the protests on Memorial Day. My number is 913-271-7925.
Okay, we have been talking with Ann Sullentrop, Kristen Shear, and Kimmy Igla of PeaceWorks Kansas City about their recent trip to Washington, D.C., lobbying members of the U.S. House and Senate representing the Kansas City metro area on nuclear weapons policies and management of associated environmental contamination. Tune in next week for when I will be talking with Paige Barrows, a member of the board of Stand With Ukraine KC, about her humanitarian work with people whose lives have been disrupted and by the current Russo-Ukraine war, including infants orphaned by that conflict. More on that and on this evening's discussion with PeaceWorks Kansas City lobbying in D.C. are available at kkfi.org. Click News and Public Affairs, then Radioactive Magazine. I'm Spencer Gray. Craig LeBeau is at the controls. Thank you for listening.